Thank you for joining us for Going Mental. This is your host, Aaron Smith, and today I have Nick Moyle.
Hey guys, so how's it going? Sorry, Nick, cut you off.
No, it's fine.
Is it though? Maybe it's not. I don't know.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Nick.
I am from Brigham City, Utah. I played lacrosse in high school, played for a bit on the USU team, but didn't have a chance to keep going. Just time issues and time commitment just didn't work. But it's really fun. Let's see, I'm in communication studies, Chass College. What's up? Shout out to Chass. And then minor in HDFS. I want to do therapy and counseling. And I'm thinking probably along the lines of either working at the family place or working just with abuse victims or mental health, or people that struggle with mental health issues. That's kind of what I want to do. But I have to get my master's, and I'm not sure how that's going to work yet. But that's kind of where I'm at. That's what I'm doing. I'm 24. Lived in the Philippines a couple years. I don't know how much info you want on me, but...
Just give us your entire life
story. Well, it started. No, I'm kidding.
So today we kind of wanted to talk about OCD. So I actually met Nick at the OCD and Anxiety Clinic because we both have OCD.
Freak yeah.
Yeah, we have fun. And it's something I'm super passionate about, and it's something that I actually reached out to Aggie Radio for to start this podcast. So we kind of wanted to go through some of the misconceptions about OCD as well as the types and kind of like our stories. So just going to be a little bit hashtag vulnerable right now.
Yeah.
Try to keep it uplifting and funny and make fun of it, because what else can you do? Anyway.
Not much, really.
We can just kind of talk about like what OCD is. So OCD, commonly known as OCD.
As OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yes.
It's also CDO for you OCD people out there. CDO is...
It's alphabetically correct.
Anyways, I used to make that joke before I was diagnosed. Anyway,
I don't know about you, but when I was diagnosed, I was like, I don't wash my hands. What are you talking about?
I don't have that.
Well, at all. I think you need to calm down. But yeah, like honestly, it's kind of. I think it's more in the mainstream media these days than it used to be. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so OCD and like all of that like stuff.
All that jazz. No, everybody to some extent, I think, has, there's a different, well, here's
there's
the
like
thing.
Tendencies.
There's tendencies, but there's a difference between being like clinically diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder and wanting to keep your room clean and straight and organized and clean. And
yes.
Well, you can never be certain. OCD, that's the one thing it wants is certainty. And that's why we're like, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We'll never know. Maybe we won't know.
Definitely. Something we were kind of trained into doing from the OCD and Anxiety Center.
It's in Bountiful, Utah. You can reach out to them. It's one of 7 in the nation, I think.
Really?
I don't know. I don't remember.
That's
my mom
crazy.
Said that. It's one of the only ones on the, even close to the West Coast. People up from New Mexico, from... Oh, we have people from all over the place. New Mexico, Arizona.
Yeah.
They have
an inpatient one down south that it's like you live there, but that's for like super extreme cases.
That's they take you in, you get drugged up, and then they send you on your way. Seriously though, like they medicate the crap out of you, and then that's it.
Yikes.
At least that's what I understood from what one of the other guys said that was.
Jackson,
thank
you.
Yes,
I love Jackson.
Love that dude. We probably shouldn't be saying names, but we're never going to say last names. So anyways, it's okay.
I don't even think we know now last names.
I don't think we do either, to be honest. Anyways, sorry, HIPAA violation. But,
You've been HIPAA violated. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I signed a paper. I wouldn't do that. That's okay.
Oh, talking about HIPAA violations, we are not licensed therapists.
No, we're totally not.
I mean,
all.
Nick might be in the future.
Yeah,
but
right now, I'm not. That's a good call.
I am an economics major. I am definitely not licensed in any anyway.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. We are not licensed. I'm not licensed. I want to eventually get to that point, but I don't even know if it's going to be for OCD. This is just us kind of talking about what we want, like what we want
people to know about our disorder.
Thank you.
So.
And now I'm obsessing about talking about OCD. That's actually
the great thing
it's
about
actually
OCD.
Very common. It's very common. You want to make sure that everybody feels Like, oh, yeah. Knows everything, knows they're okay, they're gonna be okay. Anyways.
I think we just did, like, probably...
a good 5 minutes on that. Anyways.
Anyway. Yeah. On to God. So, I kind of want to talk about some of the themes that are kind of widely known. So we're gonna talk about the stuff that probably is, like, commonly known about OCD. So, it's contamination, checking, symmetry, and ordering, and hoarding. So those are four things that usually... back in the old days when we put people in hospitals for being sad.
Seriously, though.
Like when we put them in mental institutions for a long time. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I get you. Back in the archaic days of mental health, that was kind of what OCD was classified as, is like checking, contamination, symmetry, and ordering and hoarding. So definitely, like, people with OCD can develop those things. Like, these types aren't, like, specific. You can develop these. Like, if you have OCD, you just have OCD. You just develop subtypes over time.
Yeah.
Like, you can go, like, I've gone from kind of more mental stuff to, like, contamination. Just, like, because someone's sick in my apartment.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, it's like, it's just something that kind of evolves. Like, whatever you value the most.
it clings onto that thing. So for me, it was religion, and I had to be perfect. If I wasn't perfect, I was going to hell, no matter what.
Definitely.
Maybe I am. I don't know. Maybe I'm not.
Yes,
maybe probably. I will. I haven't been to the temple this week. Maybe I'm going to hell for it. I have no freaking clue, and it pisses me off to no end. Like, it's just... Anyways,
It definitely, like, it clings on. It makes that anxiety. So you have kind of the, what is the little wheel thing? It's like, you start with, like, the anxiety about something. You have, like, a thought. Anxiety about that thought.
So you have an intrusive thought.
Let's talk about intrusive thoughts.
I'll say, take a step back. Yeah. Everybody has intrusive thoughts. The difference between people with OCD and people without OCD is the intrusive thoughts go away. Like, we've all wondered, driving down the freeway, I wonder what would happen if I yanked the wheel to the right.
Yeah.
We've all had that thought.
The void. Like.
It's just the thing. But then, and people will go, huh, that's weird. And they'll just keep driving. For people with OCD, this is just an idea. It may go something like this. Why would I think that? I'm not a bad person. I don't want to kill myself. If I killed myself, that'd be so selfish. Like, if I jerked the wheel, then I'd kill myself, and then my mom would be sad because she wouldn't have me, my girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, da, da, da. And you just go off for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and then you work yourself up into anxiety and panic.
And then you stop driving because you're so worried that you're going to crash your car when you drive, or you're going to hit someone.
Yeah.
It's just, like, avoiding the thing that gives you anxiety.
Yeah. So an intrusive thought is basically, like, back in the good old... This is how my therapist explained it. Her name's Paula. She's great.
Oh, I love Paula.
She's awesome. I hope she doesn't mind us talking about her. So
yeah.
Paula explained it this way. So it's basically, back in the good old days, we had fight or flight. And now, for whatever reason...
It's fight, flight, freeze.
Freezing is another thing. I definitely have freezing first. But, anyways.
Are you a little deer when you get in the headlights?
It depends. Sometimes, honestly, it depends on the situation. I've tried to, we're going off a very tangent here. That's okay. I've been definitely more flight in the past, and I'm trying to get to more fight, because I feel like fleeing is a wussy tactic to move, and so I'm just like, to be a real man, I have to fight. So, whether or not that's actually true, I have no idea. That's something I'm working on. It's not fleeing, but like haunted houses, and I'm going to Little Bear Bottoms. This is not a plug for them, but I'm going there this weekend, and I'm like, I'm just gonna punch things that jump out at me.
That's my response to punch. Like, okay. I just, like, get so, like, anyways. I don't know, when people scare me, I just punch them.
So you know, fight or flight. That's the idea. And we would do that when some sort of predator would come upon us in the good old days of way back when.
Yeah, but for one reason or another, OCD brains are sticky. So, like, if you have that anxiety thing, like, your brain just automatically programs this, that is dangerous, we hate that.
That thought becomes the bear that was chasing us way back in the day.
Yeah.
And then you do everything you can to avoid it. You flee, you fight it. And the hard thing with OCD is that you often want to engage with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Like, if you try and engage with it and fight the feeling of anxiety, it just sucks. And you just feel like crap.
True. or like, yeah, just like entertain it at all. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm going to avoid it, or oh, I'm going to, like, I don't know. For me, fighting it was like researching it, obsessively researching about it.
Yeah, and honestly, that's.
Or testing yourself.
Testing myself. For me, a lot of the time, and these are called neutralizers. It's what you do to
neutralize the situation.
Neutralize the situation, neutralize the anxiety, make the anxiety go away. For me, a lot of the time, it was praying or reading my scriptures or going to the temple. And these are good things, and we're commanded to do them, but we're not commanded to do them out of fear. So that was something that was hard for me. I still struggle with that to an extent. Like I said, I haven't gone to the temple this week, so I may or may not be going to hell. Maybe. Maybe God hates my guts. I don't know.
Probably.
Probably. Honestly, not. Maybe not, though. We don't know. So, anyways, it's just that
idea.
It's
just kind of like a...
And if you're listening to this and you've ever...
Had those kinds of, like, thoughts and stuff.
Not necessarily with religion.
But, like, there's other things,
there's
too.
Other things. You're like...
And we're going to go over a little bit of those, too.
Yeah, if you've ever had any of these thoughts, I just want to say now, definitely talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel anxious all the time, you can't wind yourself down no matter what you try and do, like, talk to somebody because it's worth...
Yeah.
Or if you have thoughts of self-harm, please talk to somebody. Like, you're needed. We love you. I don't know who you are, whoever you are listening, but we love you. We need you here. But remember, you're not bad. You're not a bad person for having those thoughts. It doesn't mean you are bad, and it doesn't mean you have to act on those. But help is there.
Definitely. And I think that everything works out in the end.
Eventually, and honestly, yeah. Sometimes there's a song called Sunrise by Our Last Night, and it's for those of you that like alternative punk like myself.
I do too. Look at that. So
no, basically it talks about depression and making it through the night, and you can make it to the sunrise, and it's one of my favorite songs ever.
Oh my gosh.
So it's really good. So Sunrise, Our Last Night.
That's like the 21 Pilots song, Truce. It's like...
I haven't heard that one.
Gosh, you need to listen to it. You need to be a 21 Pilots fan because you would totally like resonate. Because
I don't
like
do a lot of music. I'm not
legit. Like, you're just gonna have to go home and like listen to all of this.
Okay, sounds good. Anyways,
so we're gonna talk a little bit about. Okay, so we talked a little bit about contamination. Mm-hmm. There's also checking. So like the classic example is you think you locked your door. I mean, this happens with normal people. Like, did I lock my door? I don't know.
I think I did.
I should probably go back and look. Like, there's a difference between, like, going back and looking and making sure your door's locked and going back and looking, like, 10 times because you're worried it's not locked.
Or...
You didn't do it right.
Or you didn't do it right, exactly. Or your stove's on. Or you left your stove on, you have to leave the house, and you have to go all the way back to your house just to make sure the stove's not on. Or you have to text your roommates, hey, did I leave the stove on? Or did somebody leave the stove on? Just because the thought crossed your mind.
True. Where I left the curling iron on and now my house is going to burn down.
Mm-hmm. So that's the funny thing is OCD, everybody has thoughts, everybody has fears, some people have phobias. OCD takes it to the very extreme. Like,
it's very much black and white.
It's very much black and white. There's no gray area at all, which is why sometimes it's hard being a member of the church. For that reason, because the church doesn't have a lot of rules on certain things. Like they say, attend the temple regularly. I don't know what that means. Does that mean weekly? Does that mean monthly? I don't know. Regularly. Sure.
Probably going to hell for that.
I know, right? No, and that's just something that you just... I mean, everybody kind of wonders, but... Anyways, or did I do it? Or did I do my assignment well enough? How many times do I have to proofread this stupid assignment before I can turn it in?
Like, and that kind of gets into something that, like... We talked a little bit about scrupulosity, which is what you...
Religiosity, scrupulosity, that's what I have. And it doesn't necessarily have to be with the church. Like, with
it can be with values. Like, for example, I worry about being racist a lot. Like, I'm like, I looked at that person wrong. I'm racist. How dare I? Like, and honestly, it really attacks your values. So it's like, if you value something, like, if you have, like, a value in, like, maybe you believe that everyone should have free speech... Maybe you're worried that you are, like, inhibiting free speech in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like,
yeah.
That you're being sexist. Or, like, it really deals with kind of, like, those more ideals. And as well as, like, religion is a great one. I think they even talk about how Mother Teresa probably had scrupulosity.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was worried about that God didn't love her. That she felt like God didn't love her. Even though we all know Mother Teresa did so much.
She's an incredible person.
Yes. Exactly. So, like, it really... It's I have scrupulosity, too. And it just... It terrifies the crap out of you.
So we'll honestly, I like, I hope you don't get sick of me talking about, I use the temple as the example because that's often what my mind goes to. But I refer to scrupulosity because that's what I deal with. I don't deal with perfectionism to an extent. And then feels right. I have feels right. I have to do something until it feels right to me. Whether that's brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
Combing my hair. I had contamination for, like, fear of contamination for a while, too, just before I went. Like, it got really bad. That's when I actually, my mom was like, Nikki, we need to go see somebody for you for this. Because it had led from scrupulosity to perfection to contamination to...
Yeah.
And then the funny thing is when I went... I don't know if this happened for Aaron, but when I went in to get diagnosed, they're like, you have OCD.
And
I don't.
You have OCD about having OCD.
And then you're OCD about having OCD. It's
and then
really
you,
funny.
I had OCD that they were, like, admitting me in to take my money. Like, I was like, they're just telling me I have OCD
so
because
they
want my money.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, like, they were just like, maybe we are, maybe we're not. Like, how dare you?
And it was times like that when I'd go, okay, you're right. I have OCD. When I'm like...
But you can't prove anything, so maybe Nick and I don't have OCD, and we've been lying this entire time.
Maybe, I don't know.
This is almost like an exposure session for both of us.
It drives me nuts.
So we talked a little bit about perfectionism, too.
Mm-hmm.
So perfectionism and, like, orderliness and things like that, like, it's just kind of like, it can be... I don't know. It also feels right. It's just like doing things like you have to do something perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily cleaning your room. Although for me, like when I get really bad in terms of OCD, I start doing the dishes and I start cleaning because I can't handle it. And like sticky things start bothering me. And like I just know when I'm doing the dishes, it's not a good idea. So my roommates are always just like, oh, look, Aaron's doing the dishes. And I'm like, this is the worst day ever.
Yeah, I've been there.
But there's also kind of like symmetry. I know one guy who like if he tapped or like one side of his leg, his other leg needed to be tapped.
I have that.
Yeah.
I used to chew when I was little. I would used to chew food on the left side of my mouth. I'd chew it for two bites, switch it to the right side, chew it for two bites, switch it back to the left. Or I'd have to count when I'd knock. So I did summer sales for 3 summers. My first summer before I started taking medication, which we'll get to eventually, I'm sure. I'd have to knock and I'd have to count how many times I knock. When I'd walk upstairs, I'd have to count how many times I'd walk upstairs. Like, I just had to. I had to. For no reason.
I used to
no
count
reason.
The hymns.
For
like,
no reason. Yeah.
I used to, like, read the hymn book and try to get through the whole entire thing before sacrament peening ended. So I'd just be reading the hymn book as a kid. Just like, I need to get through all of these. I didn't read it right.
I don't know why, but I did.
How did we not get diagnosed earlier?
I don't know. Honestly, like, looking back in high school, I see so many tendencies where I'm like, flags all over the place.
Okay, so I talked about checking, contamination. It talks about mental contamination, which is, I feel like it's like, feels right.
Yeah, it feels right. For me, that's, like right now, I'm feeling the compulsion to make sure I tell you everything about it or say the right thing until it feels right for me. Like, I just feel that.
Yeah, you're getting OCD in real time right
now.
No,
like, legit. And like, I'm not sitting on my chair anymore. I'm standing up trying to, like, I'm just reacting hardcore. Anyway.
Is this giving me anxiety? I feel so bad now.
Okay.
And now
maybe,
it's giving me OCD.
Maybe you should. See, this is the funny thing, is you can literally...
Yeah.
You can think yourself into hell and into madness, and it literally feels like hell.
Seriously.
Sometimes.
No, it does. It feels like hell. Like, and I don't know, for me, when I was at my worst, it was like, once I get over this thing, like, I'll be okay. Like, once I get over contamination, it'll be okay. And then it morphs into something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like you can't escape it. You just have to fight it. And
that's honestly, that's the cool thing, is it's going to be with you for the rest of your life. Like, I say cool because...
You really have to kind of become friends with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd feel weird without it. Like,
I wouldn't be me. Like, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody ever.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's taught me a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, scrupulosity's kept me safe from a lot of things. Like, my friends were into, like, I don't know, some of my friends were into alcohol and drugs and...
Unprotected sex.
unprotected sex. Like, other things like that. And... I don't know, like, for me, it was just never really a desire, and it was, like, scared the crap out of me, so I never knew, like, I knew I could never go there, because
yeah,
my anxiety wouldn't let me.
Me too.
We can talk about, okay, so we kind of talked about, oh, hoarding's a good one. Like, because a lot of people, when they're older, like, they get hoarding. Like, they start worrying, like, compulsive shopping is also a good one. You compulsive shop?
Oh, totally.
Really?
Not like in a girl way, but
like I'm not in a girl way. I don't go buy shoes on the internet at 9 in the morning.
Maybe it is a girl thing. I do buy shoes on the internet.
2 a.m.
No, I'm kidding. No, but anyways, no. I'm a compulsive.
Do you ever
buyer.
Like when you go to the store, you just sit there and you're trying to figure out what the best possible thing is to get? For me, I'm like, I can't, like, I have to, like, choose, like, things. Like, I have to, like, look around and make sure I'm getting exactly what I need to get. And, like...
Not to that point. I if I see something I like, I have to have it. It's, like, it's more like that. If I don't have it. That might not even be OCD. That might just be...
Usually, if you have OCD, your therapist goes, it's OCD.
Usually true. And then she's also... And then Paula, my therapist, did say that there's a lot of things that you just like to do just because of you. Like, I hate inappropriate humor. Like, I just hate it. And that's not because of scrupulosity. I just don't find it funny. Anyways, so there is a point where it is OCD, but there's a point where it's also you and your personality and what you like and don't like.
Exactly. So let's talk about more of the things that aren't, like, the types.
Less common.
Yeah, the ones that aren't, like, the pure O. So there's, like, a category of, like, more mental compulsions. So, like, there's an obsession. Let's say it's... I'm worried about getting the flu, and then there's a compulsion, which is, like, maybe washing your hands repetitively. Mm. So everything stems from, like, an obsession. And, like, it stems from, like, usually a core value. So mine usually radiate around I'm not good enough, so I worry I'm not good enough. And all of my OCD kind of goes back to that. Like, I'm not a good enough person. I'm not, like, enough in some way. Basically, it comes down to you're scared of the unknown.
And that's why OCD loves certainty, which is why, and this is what I tried to allude to earlier, but she just explained it, is that's why we say maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you think we're nuts. Maybe you think you don't. Maybe you like this. Maybe you love this.
You get two people with OCD in the same room. We do it to help each other. I think one of the worst things you can give someone with OCD is reassurance.
Oh, totally.
So if I sat here and told Nick, like, Nick, it's okay. You're fine. You're doing a great job. That's bad.
That is terrible.
That is, it's like giving a person who's trying to quit smoking a cigarette. Like,
and a lighter.
And a lighter.
And smoking it and lighting it for them and putting it in their mouth.
It's like, it literally, because reassurance gets rid of the anxiety for like 2 seconds.
But then it comes back. So there's this thing called ROCD, which is relationship OCD, and I've dealt with that for a long time, and I feel I'm finally past it. Like, it's finally something I've overcome. I still worry about it to an extent, but it's something that doesn't plague me like it used to.
Yeah.
And
so
if you are constantly going to your significant other for reassurance, am I okay? Did I do something wrong? Or you're constantly worried about what you did, if you offended them or something, that's relationship OCD. And the worst thing your significant other can do for you is
tell you it's okay, you're fine, like, you didn't bother me that one time you said one thing that might be, like, not cool. And this can happen with, like, for me, it's happened with my parents, it's happened especially with my friends.
My mom, hardcore, I used to go to her for everything, and now I work through the problem on my own, and then I call her when I'm like, Mom, I think I'm looping. By looping, it means we're feeding the OCD, we're thinking about it.
It literally feels like a spin cycle. Like,
oh, yeah, totally.
It's just like that loop, like we talked about earlier, with it starts with the intrusive thought, it goes to the anxiety.
We're talking about the car, driving the car.
Yeah.
What if this? You can't drive the car anymore. And letting those thoughts run. And where we both kind of got like, earlier in this, that was that. We were looping. I'm just going to call it how it was. Because it was that.
This is real time looping, guys. It's fine. So there's ROCD. And that can be really tough for people around you. OCD is just tough for everyone all around. If you're involved, like you have it, like it's just tough. And you can worry that your relationship with someone is inappropriate in some ways, or like that you're a bad person.
For a long time, I could not hold a girl's hand because I thought I was doing her own. I thought I was right. It sounds ridiculous when you hear it. But for a long time, that was like I was going to hell because I held a girl's hand or because I had a thought, I want to kiss her. I'm going to hell. So, anyways, that's part of relationship OCD. Because they didn't text you back immediately, that's all you can think of. And
And you're like obsessing over it.
And you're obsessing over, well, maybe they don't like you anymore. Maybe they are cheating on me. Maybe da, 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 da.
Yeah. And
if you find yourself playing the what if game, this is how I know what I'm living is when I'm playing what if. If I'm playing what if for more than 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, this has to stop. And if you catch yourself playing what if for more than 5 minutes frequently, you probably should talk to somebody. I'm not gonna say you have OCD, but you should probably talk to somebody.
Well, and there's definitely tendencies people do tend to have. Like, people do tend to worry about, like, people that matter to them a lot.
Yeah.
But if it's, like, constant and you can get no relief from it, and it's, like, the great thing about OCD is it's like watching yourself go insane.
It's true.
You just watch yourself go insane. You're just like, why am I thinking this? What's happening? And then you're just like, go right back into it.
Yeah.
And it's just like super funny because it's like, it's
you try and step back and then you fall back into it for a second. It's true though.
Yeah, it's not like having like a psychotic episode or anything where you're like, well, it kind of
feels like it.
It feels like it. But
from all outside appearances, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
Like, it's different from schizophrenia where somebody's definitely tripping.
Yeah.
Anyways, HOCD.
Oh, yes, HOCD. So, this one's a hard one for me to talk about because this is how I self-diagnosed, and a lot of people don't understand it. Mm. Actually, a lot of these mental compulsions, people don't understand. Well, they just don't understand OCD in general.
And that's why we're doing this.
Yeah. But HOCD is homosexual OCD, and that doesn't mean that you're homophobe. I mean, probably, but whatever.
Maybe you are, I don't know.
But it basically means is, like, this can happen in straight people, bi people. I bet it would happen a lot with a bi person who had OCD.
Oh, totally.
Like, and, like, gay people, trans people, anything like that.
Any and all of the genders.
Yes, any and all of the genders or sexual orientations or anything like that. So basically you just worry obsessively that you're gay or you're bisexual or you're lesbian or you're straight. Or things like that.
Worry and worry and worry.
And you're just like, do I feel attracted to this person? And there's actually an actual phenomenon where, like, your anxiety can get so bad that you feel like you might be being turned on, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, a legit thing.
It's weird.
It is so weird.
I've dealt with that, too.
It's, like, an OCD-specific thing. Like, it's just like, what is happening? And then you're just like, really anxious about it, but it's just like all anxiety and your mind's just tripping on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really,
it's honestly, it's hard to talk about because
it is so awkward and taboo.
Yeah, it's because it's, especially in Utah, it is a lot harder to be, if you are homosexual, it's a lot harder to actually talk to people about that. Like, my best friends growing up came out last year, and we'd always kind of figured he just had tendencies. So that was hard, and I don't support the action, but I love him as a friend, and because that's my view of it, it's especially hard.
Yeah, it ties into scrupulosity,
especially here, especially in Utah, mm-hmm. Utah State, it'd be probably even more so at BYU. Sorry, I said the B word.
How dare you? Get off of my podcast. It's just a mess. Like, no matter what it is, it just becomes a mess. Like, it just sucks. And it's just the worst. Anyway.
No, it's definitely a thing. And honestly, talking about that is comforting. Like, knowing that that's a thing. It's weird as it sounds. Like, for me, when I learned about all this stuff, it wasn't so much learning about it. It was connecting with people like Erin.
Uh-huh.
Or me and my cousin. I'm not going to say her name because I know she'd want me to. We have, like, we totally get each other because we have the exact same tendencies. We feel the exact same way about things. We have different outlooks on life, which is totally fine, which is actually great because then we can bring different perspectives to this whole thing. But she and I just get each other to a T.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm glad Erin asked me to do this because I wanted to hopefully be that person for somebody. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, no, definitely. Like, I think that is something that being diagnosed for me was such a relief because it meant I wasn't going insane. I mean, I was insane, but but it meant that there was an actual, like, name to it. Like, there was something that was going on.
And something you could do about it.
Yeah. Rather than, this is something that I'm, like, legit just dying. Like, I just feel like this is just ridiculous and I don't know what's going to happen and it's a never-ending hell and
seriously,
it gets bad.
Seriously. No, it started when I was on my mission in the Philippines. and I didn't know what was going on. I was always trying to please God. I was always trying to do the right thing. And instead, I just beat myself up to no avail, to no end. And then got home, and it was a mix of depression. And honestly, getting on medication, everybody has such a different opinion.
And it's definitely what, like, works for you.
That's
but, like,
true.
Yeah,
true.
Medication's helped me a lot, too.
Yeah, no, I'm on something called Vivoxamine. I was on Celexa for a while. Talk to your psychiatrist, but make sure he's a good one. It's helped me a lot. Like, I would... The days I don't have meds, I can tell.
Oh, my gosh. Do you ever, like, forget, and, like, the next day you wake up and you're just like, the world is over.
The world's over.
I hate everything.
I'm really weepy. I'm really emotional. Which I don't normally tend to be that way. But...
It's like you're PMSing.
Exactly. Except I'm a guy, so I actually don't know how that feels, but sure.
It's legit how PMSing works, but it's like PMSing times two when I'm actually PMSing slash
living. Yeah, no, it's a thing. By the way, if your family, if people in your family
have any
mental disorder, it's you probably have it too.
My sister has, she doesn't have OCD. She has a little bit of tendencies. My dad definitely has tendencies. If two people with OCD get married, 90% chance that their kids will have OCD.
Their kids are going to be a wreck.
So, sorry, Nick.
No, it's okay. My mom told me I couldn't date anybody from the clinic anyway, so. But that's that.
Just like automatically off limits. Like,
it's
you have
like,
OCD,
oh,
nothing against you. I just can't do that to another person.
It can't happen. Yeah, no, I can't do that to kids. That's a personal choice. That doesn't mean you don't have to.
Like, yeah,
that.
There's
like,
something.
Yeah.
We had a friend who, like, his girlfriend had OCD too.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, they make it work.
I remember I was a jerk in the clinic that would do things
no,
to spike.
No, that's why you were
anxiety.
My favorite, because you were, like, super funny, and, like, you were just, like,
I was
I don't
just
know.
Sarcastic. I like picking on people anyways. Sometimes it honestly is a compulsion, and I have to mess with people to get attention. That's just a thing. But that is not always the case, and sometimes I like doing it because it's fun. I would do things that would spike people's anxiety all the time.
Well, and it's, like, the best thing you can do in that situation is, like, to...
to a point.
To a point. Don't be a jerk.
If they're neutralizing, meaning if they're doing those things, they're seeking reassurance, they're doing those things that chase away the
it's not gonna
anxiety.
Help.
It's not
gonna
help.
Make it
it's
worse.
It's just gonna make it exactly.
Unless they're doing exposure therapy, which they
were
which
they
at
were,
the time.
Which is why it was fun.
And so then we all just pick on each other and they go like...
It's actually really fun. Like, it really is, being with other people that have OCD is really relieving. Because
then you got to be crazy together.
Yeah.
And then you got to pick on each other.
Exactly. It's true. It's awesome.
I have a friend who has bad OCD. She, like, every time I get around here, I'll be like, maybe, maybe not. And it'll drive her crazy.
Because legit, you want things to be. And we all have a fear of the unknown to a point.
So with OCD, according to the DSM, which is like the
psychological book.
Yeah, it's like the manual for diagnosing people.
That's what therapists use.
Basically, to get OCD, you have to have, like, a certain amount of, like... Yeah, but, like, you have to have at least an hour every day that you're obsessing and compulsing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
nice.
In some way. It can be mental compulsions. Like, you can be, like, reassuring yourself, like, it's okay, or doing research, or it can be...
A compulsion for me, more often than not, is not washing my hands. It's engaging with the thoughts and thinking about it and making sure that I am doing what I need to do. That's my compulsion, is to check. Checking. That's what checking is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have checking. I didn't realize that. Okay, cool.
Great thing about OCD. You check back in and you realize you have something new.
It's true, though.
Just like, it's like people at a house party. They just keep coming in and going out, keeping coming in and going
seriously.
Out.
Seriously.
And there's that one person at the party you want to shoot.
Yeah, I named him Thorn because he's a thorn in my side.
Not the guy at the party. I'm talking about the OCD.
Yeah.
I named him Thorn.
There was a girl who had bad scrupulosity about, like, she worried about the devil a lot. And I had that as a kid. Like, I was worried I was going to be possessed.
Mm.
I was, like, super scared.
Yeah, and there was another woman that also had the same thing. She had to write 666 on everything. It was really
So, another one I wanted to talk about, because we just got off on a long tangent and I don't even know where we're at. But another thing that I wanted to talk about are two very serious, or actually, let's throw in three. Three of the more, like, controversial ones. So if you thought the HOCD, so homosexual OCD, was controversial, these ones are really, really controversial.
I don't know what she's talking about, so I'm excited to find
out. So number one is sexual intrusive thoughts, OCD.
Oh,
so,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so you're worried. We kind of touched on this with, like, relational OCD and, like, HOCD.
A little
but,
bit.
Like, you can worry about, like, that you're sexually attracted to your, like,
sister.
Mom or your sister.
Or your dad.
Or your dad. And that's the very dark, dark side of OCD. It's, like...
Mm.
It's literally the most terrifying, scariest thing you can think of. Like, OCD will attack that. Like, your biggest fear is attacked. Like,
the thing that means the most to you and the thing that you're most scared of is what it uses against you.
Definitely. Definitely. And it can really just, like, tear apart relationships as well because you're worried that you are... Like, you could, like, maybe being intimate with your spouse or something and you're worried that you raped your spouse. Like, that is, like, a dark side of OCD.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
Yeah. So it's, like, it's very much something, like, so when people do say these things, like, we kind of talked about where they say, oh, I'm so OCD and stuff. For me and, like, Nick, we get it because we are diagnosed, like, but at the same time, it kind of makes us furious. Because
I get a little pissed, I'm not going to lie.
Like, my sister, she doesn't even have OCD. She just goes up to people and she's like, you need to stop. Because you're literally perpetuating an idea that OCD is hand washing and orderliness, when in actuality, it is a very...
It is so much more than that.
It scares the hell out of you, to put it, like, clear. Like, it just scares the hell out of you. And,
it actually scares the hell into you, but... But yes.
Exactly.
But you get her point. You get her point.
Yes. And so that's definitely one of them, worrying about, like, sexual deviancy, sexual, like, incest OCD kind of thing. Another one is pedophilia OCD. So someone who is a pedophile is different than someone who has pedophilia OCD. Relational OCD.
Yeah, that's true.
This can happen in new mothers because OCD gets worse after you have a big hormonal shift.
Well, yeah,
as a mother.
That's literally all like this is in your brain is just hormones.
If you take a scan of someone's brain with OCD, like
it's nuts.
Like it's
go
ridiculous.
Google it.
It's ridiculous.
OCD brain versus normal brain.
Yeah, and I can link that definitely on the podcast because that's like super interesting because like it's legit like. If you look at people's brains, even with other disorders, like my friend has PTSD, like, they're different. They look completely different. Mm-hmm. And for me and Nick, our beautiful brains, like, our frontal lobe
Mine's
is, like,
cool.
just pretty just, like, lit up as
Always.
Opposed to, like, other people's. But pedophilia OCD is you are worried about being a pedophile. So you will start avoiding kids. You start, like, avoiding even, like, thinking about kids, looking at pictures of kids, anything like that. Like, you're so scared. So the difference between that and a person who is a pedophile is pedophiles will find pleasure in it. Like, they will want to watch child pornography. They will want to do those things. They will want, like, a person with OCD, pedophilia OCD, the thought of, like, watching child pornography would, like, probably give them a heart attack.
You'd want to go crawl in a hole and kill yourself. To put it frankly, I'm
like
not even being sarcastic.
You seriously would, because that is like the scariest.
If you find yourself avoiding something you love a lot because you're scared of something happening, that's bad. That's a sign that it's OCD.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
If you have listened to everything we've said and you're like, oh, I have that, but I don't think I have OCD. Oh, I have that. And you've done it several times, go get checked out.
Yeah. You can go down to the OCD and Anxiety Clinic center down in Bountiful. And basically, Nick and I don't know how many months you were there.
I was there for 2.5 months. I actually started school last fall here at Utah State. I was going into marketing, and it just hit me hard that semester. And I was just like, I can't do this. I dropped out of school, which was hard enough with OCD, feeling like I had to be perfect and do everything productive.
Mm-hmm.
And was there from September 28th, the day after my birthday, until October...
It's the day after my birthday. I started too.
Hey!
I got interviewed on my
birthday.
Yeah.
There you go. And then I was there until, like, December 9th or something. And here's the thing, is you're not going to be cured by the time you come out.
Definitely not.
They
get you to a stable position.
If you're in crisis mode, they'll get you to a stable position, and they'll also get you to a point where you can build hierarchies and learn to expose to the anxiety on your own. And we'll talk about
you get like experts too. On your like you get to become like your own therapist. In a
yeah,
way.
Pretty much. And
yeah.
Like we've been able to self-diagnose all this stuff about us. Like it's because
it's just learning to be like aware of it.
Yeah,
because. The one thing also, so we talked about pedophilia OCD, then we also need to talk about violent intrusive thoughts.
Mm.
So with those kind of things, another really controversial one is violent intrusive thoughts. Someone who actually would take pleasure from killing someone slash would want to.
Mutilating.
They are completely different. A person with OCD who has violent intrusive thoughts, they're worried about murdering their family, so they'll stay away from their family. They're worried about that they're going to stab something, and they'll, like, stay away. They might even start hallucinating. It can get as bad as they start hallucinating that they hurt someone when they didn't. And, like, it just gets really scary.
And they genuinely believe it.
Yeah, and they genuinely believe it, and they believe they're a terrible person. And, like, they want to tie themselves slash handcuff themselves to a door because they think that they're going to do something bad.
Mm-hmm.
That person is probably as safe as a butterfly.
Being around, that's what our therapist said, is she said that, well, I don't remember, I think it was Paula, I don't remember who said it, they've had people hold knives up to their necks with OCD, just like holding a very sharp knife up to their neck, and that's their exposure, is they have to hold the knife there against
that's
their neck
so
without
scary.
Actually doing anything. Duh, they're not going to do it. And most of you are like, what?
They would let their patients do that to them?
Yes, they would.
Yes, they would.
They're not going to do anything.
That's like the most, that's the best failsafe. If you're worried someone's going to, like, hurt your children, have a person with OCD come and babysit.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll
seriously,
probably
like,
hide. Your kids will be a bigger danger to them.
Your house will be so clean.
You imagine
your kids
this?
Will be in bed on time? I'm kidding, that's not always the case. But it'd be funny, just every stereotype you think about OCD.
Yeah.
Your house would be immaculate, and your kids would be so protected.
It's so true.
Your babysitter might be crying, rocking in the corner in
your,
the position.
Your kids might be a little bit scared of the person afterwards because they're freaking out, but
what?
They will be safe.
That's true. Anyway, we've said a lot of things tonight. Lots of foods for thoughts.
Lots of foods for thoughts. You just heard two people who have OCD ramble about OCD.
We probably
obsessively.
obsessively obsessed about obsessing about OCD.
It's like meta obsessing.
Seriously, it's like, what's it called? Obsessiveception? I don't know how you'd say it. Obsessiveception.
Obsessiveception.
I share it with a list, but I'll be happy.
Anyway, this has been Going Mental with Yours Mentally. I don't know what I'm saying.
I like that. Yours mentally
unstable, Aaron Smith and Nick Moyle. Thank you for checking out today's podcast. If you have any questions about what we talked about in the episode, please feel free to shoot us an email. Our email address is goingmentalusu@gmail.com. We also have additional resources linked to our page at usu.edu/radio. Thanks for listening.